Today's podcast is brought to you by HTS. Home Theater Solutions is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. HTS specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit them at htsav.net. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon.
Hi, my dear friend Tom.
How are you?
Good. It's so good to see your charming face.
Oh, it's so good to see your charming face, too. Beautiful face.
I like the new location, too. I think I'm really digging it.
Well, thank you. We've gone from one store over to... You've done the podcast. You've done it in all the locations, really, because we did it out of the salon at one time. Mm-hmm. And then did you do it at the podcast, the Podfay?
I actually didn't. I've never done it out of there. So only 2 out of 3.
Oh, 2 out of 3. Well, yeah. This is actually the nicest one.
Well, it's very rad. I really like it.
Thank you. Well, listen, this whole thing started and it's really put a cramping in podcasting because, you know, you can't really be around people. And I think as time goes on, I think we're starting to not lighten up, but... You know, we're doing this. We got, six feet apart. 6 feet between us.
But we did it before, 6 table lengths apart.
Yeah, we've always been corona friendly. But yes. So thanks for coming on. I thought it'd be fun to have you on. I thought, seeing as how we're in the same business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hair salon, hairdresser, and small business owner. I just thought it'd be fun to chat how you're doing, what you're going through. I don't want to really... beat up on our thoughts of the coronavirus or the COVID-19, or, you know, because who the hell knows? But how have you been handling it?
Well, one thing that I do want to, on a lighter note that I giggled about on the way over, was I used to complain that I had to talk all day long.
Yeah.
And communicate all day long. It used to be a complaint. And then I giggled because I was like, oh, here I am wanting to go and talk.
Yeah.
communicate with somebody.
Exactly. And that's a big part of our business, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think handling it in the very beginning was very negative. And then now where I'm at right now, super positive and finding all the goodness in it. Like, you know, we sat 6 feet apart doing this many months ago. Communicating and still talking to one another, and it was something that we wanted to do, and now here we are doing it again, and nothing's different. I'm not so scared.
I can say for myself, I definitely have a new appreciation for what I do.
Oh, absolutely. I think you too always loved what I do for work and have been grateful for it. As minuscule as it is, that's another thing, how much people want and need you, and watching people reach out feeling sorry for you or wanting your service that they provide for small businesses, and not feeling alone. We really touch all of the community.
Yeah. Well, we've had times where maybe one thing will be kind of hit hard, or one other section will be hit hard, but really this one is like hit everybody hard. I think one of the odd things, you know, we see a lot of people donating stuff, and I'm like, well, I'd love to do that. You know, I'd love to donate $500 to somebody, mm-hmm. but I'm hit too. Like, I'm literally not working.
And right on, that's another thing. When have you ever heard
just
of
a little bit closer?
Sure.
Sorry, I just
is that better?
There you go.
Hey, now.
Can you hear yourself a little better?
Mic check.
Cheeky check one.
One, two, one, two. I think there's so many things that we've learned from this weird time period. One of them is I always donated and I always gave. And name one time you've ever heard of a GoFundMe for a salon.
Right.
Or for a small business or for what we do, you know. Again, as many clients, I have a friend that came down with cancer and my heart broke and I wanted to give more and more and more in everything that I had. But that never has come back to us.
Right.
You know, we're constantly giving. We don't even make a lot of, between our overhead and what we do as a service and stuff like that, we make a living. We don't make overhead or profit. And so I feel now a little more selfish,
yeah.
Okay? Not putting my finances.
Well, one of the nice things about our business is that I can donate my time. You know, it's not like, oh, here's a free cut and color. and somebody, I'm going to pay somebody to do that for you. You know, it's always been about, I can donate my service. You know, it's nothing for me to come in and give a haircut. You know, right. I just give my time.
Right.
You know, if I'm going to do like a cut and color, of course I'm going to pay for the color. You know, it's not the, it's not a lot of money for a tube of color. It's really, you know, the experience of being able to apply it correctly and stuff. So that's, you know, because I'm like you. People are always, you know, can you donate a gift basket to this? Can you donate a gift basket? I usually throw some products in there, and then I usually put a gift card in for like a cut and color. So that part isn't hard to donate. But when we're actually donating like chunks of money at this point, I'm like, and just to be fair, no one's asked me. And I'm not sure that anybody's really hitting people up to donate. I think it's just out of the goodness of their heart. But I know out of the goodness of my heart, I'd love to donate. It's just been tough for me at this point to really be able to, which is unfortunate because...
And frightening because you don't know what the future holds. You have children and a life and all, you know. That's one of the things that, of course, not talking too much about the pandemic that we're in, but I, on the positive side, keep thinking there must be people that are so scared and don't have anything, but $1,000 is like $1 million to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And then they get government help. And for me personally, I'm the middle class white female who has a small business, so dual everything, and I don't get much of anything.
Hold on a second.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's been a challenge, but you know, one thing about and I've always and we may have even talked about this. You know, we've always, you know, whether you're watching the news or whatever it is, reading articles. You know, it's always treated like the whole United States is a community, and it's really not. And I think something like this has really shown how important a community is, because, you know, maybe you and I aren't able to contribute as much as we would like to, but there are a lot of other people out there that are willing to and that are more, I guess, they have the ability to. And it's great because, you know, there's a lot of people struggling, and it's really, you know, it's sad. And I think... you know, like I said before, I've become more aware and appreciative of even some of the small things, you know, that we do.
I know. Absolutely. And
here, sit up just a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Absolutely.
You're like, you're just hiding from that mic.
This was a topic that I was thinking about while I was taking a shower this morning and just having, you know, my daily thoughts. And I know that I've shared this story with you before, but you're a part of my life every day because you coined a phrase that I use constantly. And the phrase is not today, but to backstory it, we worked together and we were in the break room and had time by ourselves, which flings a whole mess of, you know, starting back over and stuff like that, you know, starting over. But we were throwing rotten oranges on a hook and seeing who could get the rotten orange to actually stick to the coat rack.
Break room shenanigans.
Yeah. But when it didn't make it and the orange didn't attach itself to the hook, you would say, not today. And so I find myself every day, even prior to everything that's gone on, I find myself saying it in different references. Like it could be like a funny joke, like where somebody who wants a sip of my soda, not today, you know, to every day I walk into my shop and I look at it and I'm like, not today.
Not today.
And am I going to get help today? Not today. You know.
Well, did you... And I don't know if I've talked to you about it, but were you able to do anything through the Paycheck Protection Program?
I actually, as much as the beginning of the month, I research, what to do for the employees, what to do for my fellow coworkers, what I could do. You know, I tried to make sure that I was giving back. My younger brother owning a small restaurant and two small restaurants and his partner in business, you know, to feed them or however. I'm not on social media, so I can't kind of promote that way, but what I could do to provide. And every day it kept changing, hour by hour it kept changing, minute by minute. I would talk to another fellow person and they had one opinion and what to do, and that would change the following day. And I got so much anxiety and so much frustration out of not being able to get anything that now I'm on the opposite end of the month where I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's going to be over.
Right.
It'll end someday, and it'll be what it is, and we'll see what happens tax season.
Yeah.
Wise, I made some mistakes there, but unknowingly with good heart.
And, yeah.
My fingers are crossed, and I'm tired of worrying.
Well, and that it kind of I feel like I was kind of taking that same kind of position. You know, I'm like, well, this isn't going to last that long. I have enough money saved that I can make. And, you know, I don't know about your landlord, but the Ocean Atlantic, they offered me kind of an option if I wanted to take it, which was kind of like adjusting the rent for the next few months while we went through this. And then, of course, at the end of wanting the rest, which was fine. But I was like, you know, I can probably make it. I mean, I have enough for the rent. I didn't want to take their offer because, like I told them, I go, I'm never going to have enough money to pay you back.
Right.
So I might as well, if I have it, I'm just going to do it. And so, but then my buddy Carlos is like, no, you need to apply. You know, the problem for me is I don't pay myself very much.
I'm
the only employee for the Thomas David Salon, and I don't pay myself very much. So when I took an average of 12 months and punched those numbers in and then did the math, you know, it wasn't a lot, but I applied and I was able to get it. It wasn't much, but I think it'll be a little bit of a help. The good thing for me, the lucky thing for me was that my bank reached out to me. They're like, listen, this is what you need to do. They sat down with me. I use a payroll company. They sent me everything I needed. They had already knew it was going to happen. Sent me everything I needed. I took the package. I took it over to the bank. I sat down with them. And we had to figure it out within 2 days. So, you know, and that was Community Bank. And I've always been a big fan of Community Bank because I've always said that they were the only bank that would give me a loan to get my salon.
Shout out to them because I bank with Community Bank. It's my business bank.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened. And I love that they reached out and that they covered me. At the time, I didn't know what I should be doing. And I was really scared to make a choice because I didn't know what was going to happen tax-wise. I'm worried about other people. Because Chase Aid, as a hairstylist, works for my small shop. So I didn't know whether or not I should be doing unemployment for me working for myself or for my business needing something. But I took the same route, and I really liked it, and I haven't budged on that because, luckily, my landlord got the 3-month grant. And so we just pushed everything forward, and ironically, she just sold the property. So I signed an early lease for her so that she could get money from her bank prior to all of this. I mean, this is this crazy dynamics because a new business took over and she was retiring and sold it. And so our contract landed me safe that I could be there month to month at my choice and not the new landlord's choice.
Right.
So that was, I don't know if it's a safety net or a scary thing. But they're scared. They're building a business. They're able to be under construction, and they have their loan, again, from Community Bank. So I guess we can plug that.
Well, I love Community Bank. Yeah. I mean, they're just fantastic.
Yeah. And
we
just keep staring at each other, and we'll say we'll figure it out in the long run.
Well, and like I said, you know, the good and bad is that we're all in this. You know, it's not like, oh, the hair industry is taking a hit, and the rest of the world's just cruising right along, and hopefully the hair industry will come back. You know, we're all taking a hit. So, you know, it's like, I can't pay my bills. The people I pay my bills to can't pay their bills. The people they pay their bills to, they can't get that. So we're all in the same boat.
Right.
You know, it's unfortunate, but it's kind of one of the good things about it that we can all sympathize with one another.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that it's really great
and I have,
to say that we're all in it together.
And I have really a couple, truth. I have a couple girls that rent chairs for me, and I told them, listen, don't worry about it. Don't pay me.
That's 100% what I did, but I was like, just pretend like you quit.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Well, and then I said, listen, you know, eventually, you know, I'd appreciate it, but you and your family are more important right now than rent. And so we'll see how it all works out. Listen, I always say, I love what Matt used to say, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should all work out just fine.
As long as it's a clean atmosphere, we're healthy and fine. I was very proud of one of the cool chicks that I work with. She has been with us from the beginning, and she started out as an assistant and got herself through school. And all during her pregnancy and stuff, and has made a very strong book and been very successful. And I'm so grateful for her by the name of Victoria Hanen. Shout out to you.
Hey, Victoria.
She was the first one to, as soon as everything came out, before we had to shut down, to quarantine herself. And she was thinking about her kids, but she also is from Bulgaria. And they were talking about it more, obviously, in the European countries. And she was like, no, I'm not going to do it. It's not worth the money. It's not worth anything. We need to close. We need to do this. We need to do that. And I did close on her account, although I took clients every single day that I had that week, but just me, right, and didn't allow anybody else to. And then some of my other coworkers who are super talented and have their lives and, in all fairness, paid their rent for the month. They had the right to be there. I asked them for no children at first because there's no way to sanitize,
right,
after little hands everywhere. And I know you've been in my shop. You know that there's little things everywhere.
Yeah.
So I asked for no children.
Knick-knacks.
To start. And just my front desk alone is alluring. And no children and nobody older than 60 was my first precaution. And then fast forward to, I was like, I'm sorry, I can't even have you in here because I don't want, like, if I'm taking a client, I had to look out for myself a little bit selfishly. Well, and I was like, I can't have, you know, more than so many people and worry about their schedule and who they were having in more than one at a time.
Well, it was kind of, it was funny because there was like, it was like around the 11th, March 11th. And this all kind of, you know, okay, what's going on? And I was, you know, taking care, doing clients, you know, wiping down everything, yada, yada, yada. And then around the 21st, I think it may have been a Friday, everything kind of went to hell. And I remember I thought, well, I can probably just do a couple people a day. But then, like, my buddy Carlos is like, listen, we all have to do this together or we're never going to get back to work.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah, now. And then I started to understand. And then all of a sudden people were, like, started canceling. Like, they didn't even want to come to the salon. And I was like, yeah. So I posted on our page, you know, we're closed. And but it's funny because there's, like, this, you know, we all want to be safe. But then these people that keep booking.
I know. I'm like, well, and then there's the opposite. It's the people that want to be safe and the people that are kind of pounding you because they're so concerned. And I'm like, it's such a little, it's only one hair appointment currently at a time.
Right.
You know, like, it's just one hair appointment that you missed. Or, you know, then you worry about, like, what's on the flip side of it of, you know, who's going to, what are we going to see? A whole bunch of, like, red roots and black ends. And
well, you know? I mean, what do you think this is going to look like, you know, when it is all said and done? I mean, let's say, you know, they blow the horn. All right, everyone back to work.
You know what I honestly believe is that, okay, the people that weren't...
Wow, that was loud.
The people that weren't working are going to hold off because they're afraid of finances and it's a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to ruin their hair. We're going to fix it eventually.
Yep.
And I think that we're going to have to book longer time frames for certain clients, and it's a great opportunity to start paying ourselves for our time and our talent and our knowledge. I hope so, I hope that I do that. But then also the people that have been working this whole entire time that aren't scared or they don't have any, you know, grandmother at home and stuff like that are going to be on our books. My biggest concern is it feels like it takes a whole day just to do one person. And how do we ever work 12 hours and get all those people in?
Yeah.
In one sitting. And I don't want to go back to it. I've lost my motivation to live that lifestyle.
Well, that was another question I was going to ask you because, you know, people have been talking about maybe we get going around the 1st, maybe the 15th, you know. And then I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm really having to, like, I'm having to try to figure out what that life is going to be like because... this has, you know, ruined me a little,
and
I have no doubt that when it all gets going, I'll fire back up and get back into doing what I do. But I do relate to what you're saying. It's a little,
I'm on the cusp of the maybes, like maybe I'll just work Tuesday afternoons into the evening. That'll, you know, cause we used to, for me, I work, you know, 8:30 to 8:30, and that means you get out of the shop at 9:30, 10.
Well, I've already left that thinking. I don't even do that before this happens.
So it's like, maybe I'll just work half a day on Tuesday in the evening, half a day on Wednesday in the evening.
You need to go into the Tom schedule. So the Tom schedule goes like this. No work on Monday. Tuesday, I come in at 10, and I work until 7. No work on Wednesday. Thursday, 10 to 5. Fridays, if it's summer, 10 to 2. And then Saturdays, 8 to noon.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll adopt your schedule.
It's really not that bad.
Well, I think, too, when you first open, you're like, our mindset, especially as I 100% know as Americans, our concept is that you need to work hard to be successful. And it's really not true.
Mm-mm. You have to work smart.
And that's what this has taught us. Yeah. Like, I do like to consolidate people and pay an assistant, and it's worth the money. I'm like, but do I need to pay somebody?
I don't have an assistant.
You don't work with
any? No.
Really?
Or a front desk, or anybody. It's just me.
Yeah, but then are you on your phone all the time? Like I am and I lost my
I use Vigaro.
Yeah.
I have online booking. Book, oh, yeah.
And then you have your hours so short. See, I'm still on the I can't say no. So 6:30 at night, do you take that balayage? And
no, I don't.
I do.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Yeah. You know, and not charge what it remotely costs.
I remember when I first started, I remember, you know, and I shared this with you, how much you were an inspiration, you and your mom and really all the ladies that were at Bad Hair Day when I was a 40-year-old shampoo boy. And I just remembered, you know, how impressed I was at how hard you guys worked. And I just thought, man, this is I can't wait till I can do this. And when I started, I've said this, anybody that ever asked me, I always say that, well, everything really that I have as far as this business goes to our buddy Drexel, because he was a great, he took a lot of risk in me. I mean, I don't know if he took a risk. I know that I worked hard, and he would give me opportunities like, you know, do hair on Sundays. As long as you have them pay for the tube of color, go for it. And I remember, and he said, just get real good at it. And I remember I was still in school, and I was like, you know, grinding and loving it. And then when I finally finished school, he put me right on the floor when we were over in Lewis. And I was like, I'm here 8 to 8. I remember in the beginning, 8 to 8. And I would be there at 8 in the morning, and I'd be there till 8 at night, and I just, you know, I would sit, and then it was like, if I could just get a color a week, and then it was like, if I could just get one color a day.
Sure.
And then it was like, then all of a sudden, you know, life goes on, and you build, and then it's like, I'm not as hungry and as driven. Now I have a pretty good base of clients, and then I started kind of cutting my hours back and trying to work a little bit more smart, and also lowering my standards. You know, there's a lot of money to be made in the hair business. And I think in the beginning for me, I was a little bit, I don't know if greedy is the right word, but definitely enjoying the money flow. Mm-hmm. And, but as time has gone on, I've kind of lowered my standards as far as how much money I want and been kind of cool, you know. And like I said, I have two people that now rent for me in the salon. So that balances out a little bit of money. So it's, I don't know. It's working a little bit
very,
more smart.
We're very, very blessed, and I agree. Working smart, and, you know, it's funny, too, because it's like, it's kind of feels good to just have one client per day. Isn't such a bad thing.
I actually thought about maybe even working 7 days a week, but
just one a day.
Or one or two people a day.
Sure, yeah. Well, with that being said, too, I thought about that. It's like waiting tables, you know? That bless their hearts and that, you know, they're not able to work. I thoroughly enjoyed being a bartender.
Yeah.
I loved it. I'm not a very social person. I'm very introverted, as much as socializing is our job. I loved being on the other side. I wasn't out drinking or doing anything. I was serving and being there, but still a part of it. New Year's, my favorite thing to do is work, because I dislike that holiday very much. And I was like, I kind of could foresee myself working part-time as a hairstylist, which I love, and working part-time as a bartender, which I love.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just in our head that we needed to always be bigger and better, more and more and more, so that greed that we felt when we needed to be fully booked 6 days a week, because that's what it was for me.
Yeah, me too.
and nonstop. In hindsight, even though I was in my 20s and early 30s, no.
Right.
No more.
Well, my only problem is that sometimes there are days where doing hair is really keeps me doing stuff. Because, you know, I could work and get off at noon and really find myself being pretty unproductive for the rest of the day. So sometimes it's important that I have something to do. I am getting a little older. I find myself like, ooh. So I'm not sure. It sounds good. I don't know how my wife would feel about it if I worked till like noon every day. She'd be like, really? Tom, stop it.
Grow up, Tom.
Let's get a job, bro.
I will tell, speaking of fitness and stuff like that, it seems like you're really out there. And now with all this extra time that we have, why am I not more fit? Why am I not working?
You're not fat.
Well, but not fit.
Well.
And that's another thing. Not having social media, it saves, it's saving grace because you look at all these people doing, I don't know, their yoga pose and, you know, just like you, like running, you know, your Nike 500.
My Nike 500. Yeah. It's 5 miles. Thank you. Well, there's, that's another funny thing that, I mean, how many, and I get it. Listen, I mean, if you own a yoga, luckily we're physically, this is what we do. I'm not going to start teaching how to cut hair in a Facebook Live program or something like that. But we really have seen a lot of people come out of their old positions and trying to take advantage or at least utilize what we have and trying to do the best that they can, which I do think is kind of cool. We've seen a lot of podcasts are popping up, a lot of Facebook Live, a lot of yoga online. There's a lot of different things out there now. And it makes me wonder what's life, you know, so we go back to work, but I mean, like doctor's appointments, my mom was, she was having to see the doctor. And then when this all came to provision, whatever the freaking word is. What is it?
Provision.
No, that's not it. When this came to rendition. No.
Came in fruitation.
When this showed up, all of a sudden these doctors started doing all of her doctor's appointments through FaceTime.
Yeah, that's so. I have my doctor.
Fruition. Thank you.
Woo, we got it finally.
Jeez.
My assistant. One of my OBGYN is a dear client of mine, and she's been a blessing in my life. And she has worked. She's working more because the demand is so there on FaceTime.
Yeah.
And I was like, I asked her, I was like, is it better this way or actually being in the office? And she mentioned that being in the office was much better. It's like, you're exposed, you're touching people and stuff like that. Don't you think that would be like the gross, plus I being at OBGYN, like, it's the last place you want to be.
No comment.
It's the last place you want to be, especially some of the stories and the things that I hear from her. And with all that being said, she was like, people are so much more demanding. And they don't listen. Like, you'll sit there and you'll spend an hour giving them the advice and what to do and prescribing, and they don't follow through with it. Hmm. Where with the physical touch and actually being in the office and the office following through with the paperwork and sending you things and sending you the bill, you do more healthcare than you do sitting on, so, you know, Zoom.
So that's good to know because, you know, I would hate that we'd everything, because one of the things that I'm really not digging is that I'm finding myself looking at my phone a lot. Mm. I'm getting my news from my phone. I'm at points I'm being entertained by my phone. I'm just sitting there mindlessly looking at other people doing things through my phone, and I'm like, oh my God, is this where we're headed? Because I don't like it. You know, I like to go to the grocery store. I know people that are like, oh yeah, we just order our groceries, they get them delivered. I'm like, I like going to the grocery store. I like squeezing the avocados. I mean, that's all right. You know, I have like, you know, I have a 3-day avocado. I have 3 avocados, one for tomorrow, one for Friday, and then one for the weekend. And, you know, tomorrow's goes in. Wednesday's it's a little dent. And then, you know, the weekend's avocado is pretty hard still.
And then you make sure you eat the avocado.
Right.
You get it at the right time.
And I appreciate it. I hunted it. And I picked it. And so I would hate to see some of those things go away. But it is interesting, and, you know, I think one of the positive things is that there are things like education, especially for the kids, that we, And it's to nobody's fault, right? We can't say, oh, you should have been more prepared for this, because who prepares for this? It's like us having a huge snow budget. We just don't budget for snow, and we don't budget for coronavirus. And so the struggle's been a little bit real for the little kids. Some of the schools, like SAS, they sent the kids home that Friday with computers, and they've been having class ever since. And but the elementary schools, and there's different problems, different situations. You know, all the kids want to make sure everybody. In the beginning, it was like, if they can't teach every kid, they're not going to teach any. But as this got more serious, and as we went along farther, they said, okay. Then they started calling. Does your children need an iPad? Does Teresa and Sam need iPads? We luckily were able to. We had them. They didn't have one, but we had one that they could use. And we didn't take it because we wanted to make sure that there was enough for other kids that definitely didn't have anything.
Interesting.
Yeah. So once they got that kind of going, and now I remember the day that, and I don't know, do you know Miss Jones?
I do.
Yeah, she is freaking, she is just, I love Miss Jones. I love her husband. I love the Joneses. They're, you know, they have Irish eyes, and when she's taught all my kids. Sam didn't get Miss Jones, but Teresa has Miss Jones.
That's
and
wonderful.
When she popped up on that screen for the first time in the Zoom meeting for the kids, I almost started crying, because not only did I know that Teresa loves Miss Jones, but I know Miss Jones loves those kids. And that's, you know, when they sign up for that, that's to take the kids away.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge...
That's a really major thing, too, because that's the first time that I believe that you're seeing your children actually wanting their education and appreciating it and connecting with another human that is important to you. You know, like, do you remember your kindergarten teacher? Do you remember your third grade teacher and what they were giving? One of my dear friends that I grew up with is now a teacher, and she said that she's working more than ever, and all she wants is for the kids to join in,
right.
You know, and that really shows compassion for, you know, how much caring you have for your community and for our next generation and what's coming to us. And this will be something weird. I remember the Gulf War and thinking, I'm like, oh, we're going through a war at the time as a child. And it didn't dawn on me until now as an adult. I was like, yeah, I've been through two wars, or a citizen, you know, watching two wars. And the presidencies and stuff like that, all that didn't matter, but I was taught that.
Right.
And it was because of people our age, you know, reaching out and making sure that we knew and understood.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I hope that learning some of the things that we're learning, especially through, like, the education and, you know, the online education and just some of these things, you know, maybe we'll be, I don't know, you said it's been 6 weeks. I didn't realize it's been 6 weeks, but just in this 6 week period, we've seen a lot of things really improve, like these Zoom meetings and these, you know, different online abilities and a lot of cool, like some of these online meeting sites, like, have even given the thing for free during these times during these tough times through this COVID-19 era. And you know, but you see, like, little improvements in just like a week, you know. So I think if more time is focused, and then of course, you know, maybe this never happens again, I don't know, but hopefully next time we'll have, even like if we had a bad snow day, we could still maybe you know, teach the kids and stuff like that.
I actually craved a snow day this winter, and we didn't get one. And I was laughing with a friend. I was like, I just want a snow day. I want a reason to reschedule everybody, be home, make some chili.
So this is your fault.
I think I manifested all of this.
You got a 6 week Corona snow day.
Well, you know me, I like to travel too. And that's been another thing that's been a withdrawal for me. I still have my Florida license, and I know that I can still get into Florida if I wanted to. And I thought about being quarantined here or being quarantined there. What's the difference? And the difference was people.
Yeah. There's, have you gotten into any fun shows to watch?
Oh, television. So I have no social media but Instagram, which is like a rare form for me. And now that I have more time for it.
You don't even have television?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Nope. I have literally Instagram. And I even turned off I've even turned off my events that show up on your iPhone. Like when you go to check the weather, for instance, you know, the events would show up or the top stories. Mm-hmm. Turned that off. I just couldn't do it anymore. It just wasn't worth it for me. This was well before this era. And disconnected a little bit, a little.
Too much?
Ignorance, because I have no idea. I wait for somebody to let me know that there was a tornado warning.
Yeah.
Like I just don't have that knowledge. But a balance of, taking it hour by hour and just living my own life and what matters the most. In solitude, too, as a single girl, you know, I live alone. So aside from visiting my family, that's the only.
Well, I can definitely relate. I haven't gone as far as that, just only have Instagram in my life. But we did get rid of cable and, you know, but I've kind of checked out of a lot of things. I don't watch the news anymore. I get my news from, I just have a news app that I look at. And it's interesting how much that gives me compared to what how much like CNN wants to give me and the difference in the two. But I do have YouTube. I love watching YouTube. And we've been watching this. There's a program called Project Atticus. Okay. And it's this couple that sail in this 30-foot sailboat around the world.
I have seen this. And with a little tiny chick that's really cute. Maybe it's a boy. I'm pretty sure it's a girl.
No, it's just the two of them. Just a guy and a girl.
Oh, okay. There's one that I'll have to look it up.
Well, there's a few sailing shows, but this one's called Project Atticus. I'll send you the link. And it's just really, they do a great job. And they do YouTube videos to create revenue to sponsor their sailing. But they started off in the Keys. And I always think about you because I know you're a big lover of the Keys. And they bought a little boat, 30-foot sailboat, and they fix it up. And the one guy, Jordan is the guy's name. I'll remember the girl in a minute. But Jordan, he's like super smart. But he's like great at everything, but not maybe an expert at one thing. But he can figure out just about everything. And they did all the repairs, the fiberglassing, all the work. Launched out of the Keys, ended up down in Florida, and then went down to Cuba. And then ended up into a town in Mexico where they ended up running out of money and basically lived there for a year. She sews sails. Sews sails. And he does a lot of fiberglass work. And they're young. They're like your age. And they save their money and just, but they documented the whole thing. And it's just we straight binged watch it. And they have four seasons. And now they're still doing it. They're stuck in a sailboat because they're quarantined and can't leave the dock and all this stuff because of coronavirus. So they're still doing it. But it's just there's probably I don't know how many sailing shows I've seen, probably five or six. I just for some reason kind of got into it. But this Project Atticus, I just love how they do it. And they're honest. You know, they fight. They've shown some moments where they've kind of gotten in a little bit of a touchy. Not touching, but like a heated moment, and then they talk about it, and it's just really good. And I just think they're fantastic people.
It sounds like they're very clever people. I would definitely enjoy watching that. One of the best things that I did was drive across the country. As you know, we talked about it, I think, before 2 years ago now, driving across the country and back again for the second time in my life. But this was the northern route. And I often think we should have just documented all of it, everything that went down day to day, hour by hour.
Yeah.
The ventures and the hardships, like down to, you know, sleeping. I was just telling the story to my friend Rebecca, you know, where I had to watch the truck driver watch me pee in a 5-gallon bucket because there was no other choice. Then he kind of gave me the wave and kind of was like, I get it. Like he just looked at me like, I understand.
I think it tears down all the falseness in life that we build up when it comes right down. And that's what I think I like about these two is that, you know, they're having to fill this little 30-foot boat with stuff, you know, food and provisions. And I've watched some other shows where I just watched this other one and they had to take the trash to the town to get rid of their rubbish. They had 5 or 6 bags of just, these people just have all this like Oreo packages where Project Atticus, they may get some cookies, but they store it in a, you know, a Tupperware container. you know, don't try to create a lot of trash. Try not to create a big footprint. So, you know,
I live that way, which I'm very proud of. I actually, it's a little bit of a heartbreak every single time I dump my recycling, which is all washed and clean and proper, and I'm just so happy to see.
You do? Like, you wash and clean it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. Well, it doesn't recycle unless you don't. You got to ask Trash Can Dan.
In the can, out of mind.
No.
Good
and
luck.
And I compost as well. Do you? Obviously not.
No, but
that,
I love that idea, and I think California is even big into composting.
Well, my compost is, to me, glorious, and I get great satisfaction out of it. Seeing what grows from it, you know, I have a lot of animal life and stuff where I live, mm-hmm. and I feel like Pocahontas, like every single time I walk out the door. I even had a joke about I have 3 robin's nests in my gable, and I'm like, they're not social distancing.
No.
They're really close together.
Get some space birds.
I'll show you the picture when we get done. But watching what grows out of it, and even though it's chicken wired and it's made out of pallet, so not much animal life can get through because of my rabbits and groundhogs. They're, pardon my language, assholes. They tear up my garlic and then don't eat it. They just chuck it up and leave it, savages. But looking at like the flowers that grow and the weeds and everything that comes out of it, and then I turn the soil and what it is, and I feel so much more comfortable when I garden that I know that it was good eggs, for instance, or yeah. good, you know, clean celery that went into it. It's nice to, it's like foraging at the grocery store. It's nice to know which avocado you want.
So you have to clean your celery before you compost it?
No, but I clean it before I eat it.
Right. I'm like, aren't you just washing off dirt and then you're throwing it back in to make dirt?
It's very simple, Tom, and I think you should adopt it. You take a simple compost pot that sits near your kitchen sink or in your kitchen at some point, and it's filtered with charcoal. And anything that you cut up, I eat a lot of vegetables, especially being a vegetarian. Whatever you chop up or whatever you waste or whatever you need to, anything that doesn't have an oil or soap or any artificial something, goes into the compost. You take the compost out, you dump it.
Can you put meat in it?
No.
No meat. No,
you could do eggs. I cook a lot for my father.
What about bones?
Bones, sure. Yeah, you could. They don't compose.
Compost up a little more.
They don't. I don't know. You know. I told you, small head.
This has nothing to do with your head. This is you putting your mouth next to the microphone.
Okay, here.
So we can hear you.
Here you go. Bones, you could. They would still make for good soil, and it'd be fine. And this is something we should probably Google. But as long as they're clean, like you wouldn't put meat on them. I finally have a dog that buries bones. I think it's the cutest thing.
Oh, my God. How funny.
I know. I've never had a dog that actually does it. And, he'll dig it up. He'll pile it back on, pack it in all throughout my yard. And every now and then, he'll dig it up.
Thought it was bad to give dogs bones.
Certain bones.
There's bones. Some
like
bones
chicken
are okay.
Bones would not be okay. He is currently outside munching on a crocodile bone.
Where do you get those?
I bought them for him.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a great company that does, it's Australian, and they do crocodiles and ostrich.
I remember as a kid growing up, my buddy John, his mom composted, and they had a big thing, and she would fill it up with stuff, and then she would rotate it.
Yeah.
And rotate it. And
the gases and stuff occur. You have to.
Yeah, and it would just become this great soil, and then you put, you know, I'm a big... I've said this before. I've told somebody this. You know, if it wasn't for the working thing, the coronavirus, this whole pandemic thing hasn't really. I hate to say this, hasn't really affected us. You know, I love to cook. With 3 kids, not only can we not afford to eat out, but when we do eat out, I tend to make my kids eat the crappiest food on the menu.
Yeah,
like
the
this,
grilled cheese.
Yeah, and the fingers and the
right.
And I'm like, why are we doing this? So we made a decision a while back, and you know. What we chose, not only is it not a waste of our money, but we could use that money in another way. But we were feeding our kids junky food. So I'm a big, big fan of cooking at home. I do all the cooking. And it feels better when I prepare the food. Now, listen, I'm not a hunter. People say, oh, it's nothing better than hunting the food, cleaning up the food, bringing it home, serving it to your family. I don't hunt. So I'm still buying stuff at the grocery store. But I love making food, and I feel like when I spend the time to make it, it's just, maybe it's in my head, but I think it's nutritionally better for my kids.
Absolutely not. Made with love is a phrase for a reason. And yeah. I, being a big cook, and it's important to me, it's the way that I show my love is to give food to, you know, whoever I'm cooking for. But one of the nice things is that I know where it came from. Mm-hmm. I know what it is. I'm a weird shopper. So like, you know, I don't mind greenhouse tomatoes, but I much rather have the tomatoes out of my garden knowing what seed I got and, you know, that they're not, genetically, you know,
GMO.
Yeah. All of that kind of stuff. But I do want to invite you. One of the cool things about the property that I live on is the property owner owns.
Did you move?
No, I'm still in the same house that I've been
over in Lewis?
Yep.
Where your mom was upstairs and you were downstairs?
Oh, no. That's my mother's home.
Okay.
I haven't. That was since I was a teenager.
It's been a while. Well, that's not true. You weren't a teenager. You were living downstairs.
Well, it, like 19, 20. Oh, when I moved back from Florida,
yeah,
I did.
Because you were staying over there. Because I remember. I mean, I think I came to your house once. I think I saw your mom. I mean,
I was just talking about this too. Wait till you see that beautiful home. It's worth coming over to check out. It's really cool.
She's got. How's your mom
still working
doing?
On it. Thank you for asking. Well, Bobby.
Bobby.
She's doing well.
She's still working with you?
She is. Yeah, and is extra spicy.
Spicy
redhead.
Oh boy.
Same as usual. But what I wanted to invite you to is we have a community garden, three of them, three raised beds. And the hard part is maintaining the garden, you know, pulling the weeds, snakes. Am I loud?
No, I can't hear you.
Really?
Yeah. Just put you, it, they just say like, a, yeah, calm. There you go.
Okay, I'm right here.
You know what I'm afraid of is that when this is all said and done, I'm going to put this back and post it, and it's going to be me loud and you really quiet.
Okay.
So I don't know if I should step back like this, but I just want to.
All right, here is my new.
I'm going to push this table voice. All the way to the wall, stuff you against the wall, and shove the microphone next to your face.
Maybe it might just be my voice. Is this all right?
That sounds perfect.
Okay.
46 well, minutes.
Maybe there. We'll have to do it again.
No, this will be fine. So
community bed. And so you come over and you do the harvesting and do the weeding mostly. And there are snakes and bugs and you lose half your blueberries because the birds and bird crap are all over them and stuff like that. But that's one of the things that kind of brings us all together is that it's not something you can do one. It's a full day job. It's not just one person.
Well, you have to tell me because that sounds like an awesome idea because I want a garden. I just can't handle it all by myself.
Nobody can. Right. And work at the same time. And I've got a really cool friend, Blair, who owns one of my favorite names, the Nectar Collector, who does our beehives. And that's really cool.
Oh, do you guys get local honey through that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I will definitely give you some.
Because I was told, and I knew this, and I've heard this many times, but, you know, someone was saying if you take a teaspoon of local honey a day, it'll help with allergies.
Absolutely it does. Yeah, 100% believer in that, and push it on people.
Yeah.
Especially well, like over some type of surgery.
So can you come in plant stuff and manage and help take care of everything?
Well, there's such an art in gardening that certain things need to be planted next to one another to benefit from nutrition-wise and right. how the plants thrive.
Right.
So, and I have been lucky enough, and you met the gentleman by the name of Cody who has taught me a lot about it, and there's books on it and stuff, and all these people are retired and kind of have the time, or the majority of the people. But as you know, I live by the University Marine Study.
I don't know where you live.
Oh, right.
But we won't say.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're not going to announce.
You've already announced that you're a single lady living by yourself. And let's not give the address because all of a sudden you have a lot of gardeners showing up.
With a long driveway and a lot of land.
I heard a garden. Oh, fuck. So let's just keep that on the DL. But
a lot of the marine study and people who are students there are a part of it. So it's really cool.
How big is it?
My property?
No, the community garden.
Oh, well, so I live on 1.2 acres, and there's four plots. One, which is caged in, which used to be a old dog kennel.
Okay.
And that has three beds in there. And that's mostly for currently, or what we've just been doing, peppers, onions, garlic, and then fall stuff. And then the other three, it's kind of like a, there outside of that is where the tomatoes, it's all tomatoes. Tomatoes are, I mean, we can't.
You can't. Tomatoes are crazy, right?
Sunflowers are very important for pollination, and so we've got sunflowers kind of surrounding it. But again, you know, you think about the weeds and all the grass and everything to mow and everything that comes up in between, it is 100% impossible to do for just one person.
I love it. I love the idea.
It's pretty rad.
I want to, I'll have to, I want to find out because that'd be some fun. I grew up, my dad was a gardener. He had a garden and he was in the military, but when grew up in Albuquerque, when we were on the base, he had, I swear to God, he must have had 12 rows of corn. I mean, these zucchinis.
That's actually one thing I haven't done is corn.
Yeah. Oh, he grew some corn. And man, there's nothing better than great corn, right?
Well, one of the favorite things that happened, and this was just last summer, was the field across from me must have blown seed. And I had one single corn stalk growing in my front yard by my driveway. And I cherished it so. And
did you pick
I was
it?
So sad. No, I couldn't. Of course not.
No, I mean, did you eventually it grew corn, right? Did you eat the corn?
No. I just left it hoping. I don't know. It was just, they're like little pets.
You got to take the emotion out of that. Eat that corn.
Emotionless, exactly.
Well, but corn's great.
And it died, and that was sad, too. My lemon tree died that same year, which was really heartbreaking.
Well, that's one of the you mentioned blueberries. I love blueberries, and I planted a blueberry bush, and it had all these blueberries on it, and one day you come, and they're just gone.
Yeah, like, Rob.
These damn blueberries.
You know
birds.
What I did find, which was really cool for, I'm not sure how much time we have left. Are we in our time zone? Ahead. Some really crazy things happened to me that really had me down and out during the 19 phase. And one of them was that I did an entire thousand piece puzzle. And one piece was missing. And I bought it brand new, opened it from the bag, and it was just gone. And I was like,
that
is
ain't
this,
cool.
That's it was depressing. It really broke my heart. I was like, what kind of message is the universe trying to give me with that? And I took a picture and I was like, somebody is messing with me. That's not possible. That one piece is missing. And I knew it the entire time I was doing it. I was like, there's no other, you know, frame that this particular piece had left over. And then the second thing that was really...
You think, though, real quick, do you think maybe that instead of, like, being a victim of the puzzle, maybe it was making you stronger?
I don't know if it was spiritual. I don't know if it was...
I always think there's something...
A life lesson that the universe was giving me. I don't know if my sweater just simply picked it up and it...
Dragged it
one
away.
One day I'll find it. My dog is really good. He doesn't eat anything. He won't even eat when I'm not around.
That piece is buried out back.
I was like, did somebody prank me and come over and just take one piece? But I kind of...
Now that's creepy. That idea. little cruising, little guy coming in.
What a monster. It was just such a... I was doing it... So I was doing the puzzle in between like 7 and 10 in the morning. For a few weeks straight. And so I was like, this is just a messed up thing to do to me. The second one was I woke up to looking outside and I thought it was just the wind was really strong and I thought it was just a tree that had some type of petal that was blowing in the wind and going across, but they were floating so delicately and stuff, but didn't think much of it. Got up, did my morning routine, walked back across my bedroom window. And I was like, oh, those are feathers, and they're little tufts of feathers, and I'm used to a lot of animal murder in my yard and things. So I was like, oh, well, maybe they were just mating, you know, 'tis the season. And I was like, or maybe it was a new bird trying to get kicked out of the nest and trying to fly and lost its little baby feathers. And then I had showered, and I looked out my bathroom window, which is adjacent to one of my bedroom windows, and all of a sudden, all these yellow... long yellow feathers, so an aged bird, were all over the place. And I was like, yellow? I've never seen a yellow bird fly through the air. Have you?
No.
So I started to question it, and I Googled, what do yellow feathers mean just in the just in general. And it was renewal, the earth replenishing itself, which I thought was really interesting. I finally, after about 4 or 5 days.
Say that again.
Renewal.
Renewal?
Mm-hmm.
The earth was replenishing itself with yellow feathers?
Yeah, that's what the meaning of finding a yellow feather is.
Oh.
But then I was on the phone with my oldest brother, and I was telling him about it and about the messed up puzzle and just some other different signs that keep smacking me in the face. And we looked up in a bird book that he happened to have what bird it could be, because I gathered the feathers that day. Up, and I was like, look at him. Like, it's clearly an adult male bird because it's bright yellow, right, with little black tips and stuff like that. And it ended up being a yellow golden finch.
Aw.
Isn't that neat?
Did he meet his demise?
I think that somebody murdered it.
Well, you know, it is a crazy world.
Or something in the tree another bird did.
The bird world. I mean, every once in a while, you know, peregrine falcons or the little Cooper hawks, they're badass birds, and they will hunt down. You'll see them every once in a while. They'll come tearing through between houses. A robin's just flying for his life, and that Cooper hawk or whatever it is just on it. Well, and
one of my favorite stories, too, about this house and all the animal stories that I could tell you is a red-tailed hawk, unfortunately, flew through. I have a place above the garage. It's a dojo, technically, and flew and broke its neck and is now at the Broadkill Sanctuary. They taxidermied it because it was such, because they don't obviously want to kill it and stuff. But I still, to date, it's on my to-do list to go see had to freeze it and everything for them to come and get it.
Wow. They're beautiful.
Really cool raptors, but I have a lot of raptors, but they eat the bunnies.
Yeah. Well, how we started this whole conversation off with the hair industry, before I was in the hair industry, I was in the golf course industry, and I would spend a lot of time in big open areas on golf courses. And you'd ride around the golf course and you'd find, you know, birds with no head.
Yeah.
Birds with just a head.
For sure.
I remember over in Talbot, we'd go out there and there'd be big bald eagles sitting there eating something. A lot of battles took place out there in the golf course. And
it's interesting.
It's a scary world outside at night.
It's very interesting. I've had coyote. I just listened to an owl last night. That's so funny you bring that up.
Well, owls are badass.
Yeah.
Hunters.
And there was one of the other crazy things. It was bald eagles. I've seen several bald eagles, and they're yearlings. And they live within a certain distance from one another.
Mm.
So, you know, surrounded by it. But I watched a bald eagle eat a fox on Christmas Day. I've had, this was really true, a friend of mine who taught me how to garden that I was just mentioning had a fish from an eagle drop a fish on the back of his head. He thought a friend came up and smacked him. And it was early spring, and just the eagle, the fish was so large, because I live by a creek, just couldn't hold it and its raptors, and then actually kind of like fought him, like was trying to get it back. You know, hunting and osprey, and it's really cool. I'm very, very, very lucky.
Yeah,
and happy to live where I live.
Well, especially in the spring, you'll hear when the sun goes down, you hear this, something's just clearly dying. Yeah. Something's been caught.
And fox and heat and stuff. That's a hard one.
Fox, yeah, or yeah,
that sounds like death.
They are not. That's a scary sound too.
You but know, some,
usually it's like a big owl gets something and it just sits on them. And they're like, you're like, oh, no.
You know what other...
And it goes quiet.
Noise is bothersome to me, and I try not to be irritated with it because I'm grateful. But the morning bird. ooh.
Yeah.
Over and over, right at sunrise. And I was like, I'd rather have a rooster that pecks you in the face than these
My ex-wife used to be like, what is that sound? I'm like, what? That sound, the bird? Yes, kill it. I'm like, oh my God.
They are on my last nerve. Luckily, right now, I have enough wildlife that they kind of get pushed out, but every now and then.
Well, it's funny. It's funny how the summer goes along, you know, and you have all this, you know, new growth and new birds and things growing up, and then, you know, you see the buzzards and, you know, the starlings and whatever else. And then as the summer goes on, you know, the big buzzards and the big birds of prey start losing feathers because they get gang attacked.
It's ferocious.
Hello. But they get attacked by these finches and starlings that pull their feathers because, you know, these big birds are looking for the babies. And, you know, there's just a whole world up there that we don't see.
I know. Well, so. I definitely do see it, and it's all around me. Especially one of the things we've been able to do is take more walks. And it's so I was just at the University of Delaware going to the dog park, and the deer out there, I know people like to hunt them, and they see them as a nuisance, and the whitetails and stuff like that. They're so innocent, and they have such a beautiful look, and they think that they're mindless and dumb. But that's one of the reasons why I don't eat meat. It's like you can see into their souls, and they're just hunting and gathering and being a part of nature. And
well, it's, you know, nice because you have plants and stuff to eat. But
I believe in hunting too.
Yeah, so. I love running, and it's funny because I can run, and then I'm like, I smell them.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I smell them deer. You know, when
fox paint is.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. It's like,
who has a cat anymore?
Well, listen, I'm glad you're doing all right. It's fun to catch up. You're my first person that's been on the podcast 3 times.
Am I really?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel privileged. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, just, you know how I feel about you. You're one of my closest friends, and I've always called you, you know, a solid. You know, because if ever times get tight or I need something, I need some to call on somebody, I can always reach out to you, and you're always there.
Right back at you, Tom, and thank you. Right thank back you, at you for letting me be your first 3rd podcast member. Yeah. And thank you for actually providing this great program.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I haven't been podcasting, and I talked to a friend of mine in New Mexico, and his wife's like, you haven't been posting any podcasts. And I'm like, you're listening?
They're waiting for
it? Yeah, you're waiting? Oh, geez. So that's why. But we have been doing a lot of other fun podcasts. We do a Pearl Jam podcast now.
Oh, I know you love your Pearl Jam.
Oh, man. If anybody wants to check it out, it's called Into Deep, a fan-based Pearl Jam podcast. And
fair name.
Yeah, it is a... We're having a lot of fun, me and Carlos, and he's a mess. So, but we're still doing stuff, but it's just want to get back to the Rehoboth Social, you know, chatting with people from this town.
Well, I'm definitely going to listen to that on the way home and or on my afternoon walk today.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're doing that. I know it's important to you, so that's really good.
They're funny. Yeah. Carlos is a mess. All right, Shay. Well, listen, thank you. Have a great day, and I will talk to you soon. And listen, if you need anything, don't hesitate. You know, when we get going, if I can, I don't know what I could offer, but if you need anything, don't hesitate.
We're in it together.
You got it.
All right.
See ya.